Mini episode 455 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome, everyone, to FDH Lounge mini episode number 455. This is FDH Lounge managing partner Rick Morris. We have on a guest with us today making his third appearance on the program, and four if you count 451, because that was our best of show for mini episodes 351 to 450, and of course he popped up on there with his appearance on our Academy Awards recap show from last spring, where we talked about, among other things, Matthew McConaughey. That's actually the clip that you hear on our best of show 451, where we're discussing that, because it was a very incisive breakdown that he gave us. This gentleman is, of course, an expert on fitness. And you can find all information that you need, including is a groundbreaking book, Fitness Made Simple. You can find that at fitnessmadesimple.com. Of course, also his excellent Culture Pop show. You can find that on youtube.com/culturepop. You can find information as well at buzz60.com, where he is a pop culture correspondent. You can find information at Buzz60 on Twitter, and of course also at John Baystow on Twitter. I speak of our good friend, who I'm happy to welcome back to the program, John Baystow. John, how are you doing, my friend, coming off of the Emmys and the Video Music Awards?
Yeah, back to back. I don't remember when it's been like this. Always a joy to be back on the show, Rick. You know, I love chatting with you.
It's always a lot of fun, yeah. It's, we always manage to really get to the heart of it in these discussions here, and a very rare daily double. I know they both kind of come more or less at about this time of year, but I know in the past one or both of them has even been in early September, so to have it move back to August and then in this spot here, of course, that led to a setup joke for Seth Meyers about how clearly the Emmys were about to get canceled by being in late August there at what is supposed to be a death spot. But
and also the Monday,
on Sunday,
he kept on talking about the Monday, which was really funny.
Yeah, exactly. A Monday in August. Yeah, that's, I think, the first time since 1976 that they've been on a Monday. And I know further back, I just happened to be reading something about Chevy Chase the other day. I think it was the Grantland piece on him, and it referenced the Emmys previously being in the spring. So this might be the first time that it's ever been on a late summer Monday night, which would really be unusual. But, football. Pushing it back to that, proving that football is, of course, king in this country. Chronologically here, starting with Sunday night, starting with the MTV Video Music Awards,
yep.
You had tweeted something that I found very interesting. You put up that picture of, the partial picture of Taylor Swift, and referred to her shorts outfit as being made from, appearing to be made from, quote-unquote, her grandmother's blouse. And I want to ask you about this, because I've seen some other people make some comments on there about Taylor Swift appearing to rock some granny panties on the red carpet. Similar vein to what you were saying there. I have a theory, John, that she is basically the world's greatest marketer, and I think this ties into it, because one of the guys in our 21st Century Media Alliance, Scott Pullins, a couple months ago, just kind of like, hey, has anyone really noticed that Taylor Swift is actually kind of hot? And I was like, what, really? You fell for the whole thumb down kind of thing, too? I mean, this is a girl with model-type looks who manages to keep this army of disaffected underdog girls thinking that she's one of them. Even when she's on the red carpet showing us red-blooded males some skin, she's still doing it in a way that looks kind of dowdy. I think she's the greatest marketer in the world to get away with this act for as long as she has. What do you think?
Oh, I think she's very clever. I think she's very clever. And she pulls it off on the Instagram, too. I mean, she's sort of like the only what is she now, early 20s? She's like she's like the only post-teen, early 20-year-old old cat lady grandmother type person. I mean, she's always talking about baking, and she's always talking about all her cats, and she's posting a lot of pictures of the cats on Instagram, just like an octogenarian or someone in their early hundreds would. And then, of course, even when she wears a sexy outfit, like the theme of the night for, if you noticed, or one of the themes of the night, I should say, for the VMAs, was short shorts. You had a lot of ladies, instead of rocking necessarily mini skirts, they were in short shorts. Taylor Swift followed that through, but, you know, she had the short shorts on the bottom, but the top looked like, you know, some like her grandmother's blouse just sort of tailored to her. Either that, or, and I almost became dyslexic by looking at it because it had all those letters on it. But it had a life of its own. Between that and Austin Mahone channeling Joan Collins from Dynasty with that big white outfit on, he looked very, very awesome in that dress.
Yeah, you know, there definitely were some amusing things, as there always are, with the red carpet. And there was another observation you made. I wondered if you kind of jinxed somebody a little bit here. Your quote, Nicki Minaj left the crazy at home and looks lovely in leopard, hashtag VMAs, hashtag red carpet. And then she about has a wardrobe malfunction later on. Are you taking credit for that?
Oh, well, it's funny. That one, actually, I got some buzz on when I did she looked like a wardrobe malfunction. First of all, I love me some Nicki Minaj. I think this lady is one of the best marketers in the world, and I'll get to your tweet in a second, but I mean, number one, this lady, first of all, knew she was going against Miley Cyrus in the shock and awe department, and even her simulating sex with another woman on stage was not going to grab any headlines, and it really didn't grab any headlines. So she made sure she had in her arsenal a backup plan, which was that, zipper malfunction planned out very well, as TMZ put in an article about how she was practicing it the day before. Because her holding on for dear life, like she would hold on to a Best Actress Oscar, holding on to that dress to keep those, the girls from popping out, everybody was watching on bated breath, and that was the headline that everybody gravitated towards, as opposed to, you know, the sexiness of the Anaconda performance, which, number one, you expect from Nicki to some degree. You know she's going to push it a little bit on the MTV VMAs. She did push it a little bit. It was a little raunchy. But compared to what Miley did with the shock and awe of twerking up Robin Thicke from last year, she paled in comparison. However, the backup plan was awesome because, you know, she said, if this doesn't work, the other one's going to work, I think, in her mind. And Nicki, go girl, because if it was all planned like most people think, and the only people who don't think that are basically still waiting to have colored eggs delivered by an oversized rabbit, I think she did an awesome job.
Yeah, it was really a standout performance on her part. And you mentioned Miley, and I guess if nothing else, right, she deserves some credit for variety in terms of her desperate, hey, look at me. Tweak for this year, because this year it's not twerking with Robin Thicke. This year it's sending a homeless guy up to basically shame the music industry more or less in terms of when he was accepting her award. And again, as a lot of people pointed out, there's a lot of things that can be done substantively to help homeless people if you want to without calling that much attention to yourself.
I first of all, I disagree. I think she, first of all, number one, what she did, and I talked about this in my VMA recap, which is coming out. I actually just shot it. I'm just shooting it after this. I just wrote it beforehand. But Miley was very, very clever with that move, and I think it was awesome. First of all, it did bring awareness to homeless youth. And, you know, people can talk about, oh, but she brought people to her Facebook page, whatever. Bottom line is her having that guy, Jesse, as a homeless youth representative, go up and accept her wrecking ball trophy was a sacrifice, because I'm sure she would have liked to have been on that stage. It also did raise a huge amount of awareness for homeless youth and the campaign, because it made people see that. And so there were so many people watching the VMAs, and there's very, very few people that could have garnered that large an audience to bring attention to homeless youth. So however she did it, I'm all for it, because it's a good cause. Second of all, that was her Angelina Jolie moment. What I mean by that was, you're talking about a woman who gained attention by just shock and awe, like I said before, by saying scandalous comments, twerking up against Robin Thicke, appearing naked on a wrecking ball, picking out a joint on, or what looked like a joint on the, what was it, the MTV Europe Awards or one of the European Awards, doing everything that she could to be as shocking as possible. Just like Angelina Jolie, if you remember back in the day, used to walk out of a limo looking like an unmade bed, saying she just had sex with Billy Bob Thornton. She'd walk on the red carpet with vials of blood, French kissing her brother. You know, she did all that type of stuff, too. All of a sudden, she had a big swing one time, started dressing in beautiful, glamorous, you know, designer outfits, won a humanitarian award that was covered by everyone, goes to foreign countries as is an ambassador and everything. She turned everything around. This was Miley doing the same exact thing and just following suit, because it works. Once you have people's attention, if you're clever, you can change what they think about you. The hardest thing is to get their attention.
Well, yeah, and she did, and I will admit to your one point there anyways that she did draw attention to homelessness by doing that. People are talking about it because of that. But by the same token, by bringing up Angelina Jolie, I, again, very interesting because I'm getting the sense that you're kind of taking Miley at face value there, but you're also talking about all of the goody-goody points that Angelina Jolie has reaped for that over the last several years. So are you taking it at face value, or are you thinking that she's regarding Angelina Jolie as the world's most brilliant marketer?
I think that, first of all, in Hollywood, I tend to follow the dollar. I'm not jaded in that sense, and it's a realistic way to look at things, I think. I mean, I'm sure Angelina Jolie has many altruistic bones in her body, but you're talking about a lady who, you know, also knows how to manipulate the press and get press for herself, even if sometimes it doesn't go the way she wants to when she sticks out her leg in a dress and, you know, gets a Twitter account called Angie's Leg. The thing is, Miley's smart, and everything old is new again in the sense of, like, a lot of the marketing plans or a lot of the scenarios, whether they were planned or not, that worked, celebrities nowadays are looking back at. Just look at Lady Gaga, how she followed Madonna's rise to fame. Look at, and also Cher's rise to fame and stuff like that. Miley is doing something similar, I believe, in my opinion, looking at what happened. You can only push the envelope so far as showing breasts, showing butt, twerking up against Robin Thicke, when it becomes old hat and people are sensitized to it. So what she did with this show, I think, number one, first of all, whatever her reasons were, the end result is she raised a lot of awareness for homeless youth. So if it helped her and helped them, I'm all for it. Okay, I don't care if it doesn't have to hurt her and help them to be a win. But I definitely think it helped her, and I definitely think it's the first step in her doing more shocktastic things in a good way, much like Angelina Jolie has done as well. And once again, Angelina Jolie, whatever reason she does her humanitarian efforts for, they are good. The results are good, and the end result is good. So I look at that. But yes, of course, she made a huge change. You're talking about somebody who, in the beginning, everybody was like, ooh, look at that. She's gross with that man, Billy Bob Thornton and all this stuff. And the vials of blood and the French kissing of the brother, and all of a sudden she becomes St. Angie overnight.
Well, that would be a most unlikely trajectory for Miley to follow, but stranger things have happened, particularly in this community that we are discussing. When you're talking about females that are big global icons like Angelina Jolie, of course, you got to put Beyonce in that conversation. And again, similar to what you said on Twitter, I'm not a big fan either. I kind of place her in the category of I respect her talent. Her music ain't necessarily for me. That's not really my style, but I respect the talent. Is it fair to say she completely stole the show the other night? I saw some jibes on social media about thanks to everybody for opening for the Beyonce concert tonight. But was that the dominant takeaway? Was her performance and then the kind of emotional thing with her family afterwards?
Not to me.
Okay.
Not to me. I mean, once again, I respect her. I think I don't know her personally, so I always reserve judgment about any celebrity until I meet them in person and deal with them the way they treat me and my personal opinions of my meeting them. However, I'm not a huge Beyonce fan. And the thing is, and there's always these people saying, hail Queen Bey and stuff like that, which is fine. But no, I don't believe she stole the show. I still think that, you know, Nicki Minaj gave her a huge run for her money. And if you look at the headlines, and for somebody that doesn't have as huge of a machine behind her as Beyonce does, Nicki pulls a lot together. And I love, like, the little engine that could, and that's what I always think of her as, because she is just very, very clever with that stuff. Beyonce's also a very extremely bright marketer. The whole family thing, right now she's facing huge rumors. I've had to do a number of stories on Buzz 60 for AOL, Huffington Post, all the sites that Buzz 60 works with, MSN, Examiner, Hollywood Life, etc., where, you know, we're talking about all the rumors about people saying, oh, she hates, like, people going to Beyonce's concerts and saying, oh, look at her, look at Jay. She hates him when they perform together, and all these crazy things. So how she responds to that is posting these adorable family photographs with that adorable child on social media, Instagram. So what this concert was basically, you know, she's doing a 15-song medley of her latest album with her home movies playing in the background. So it was a great chance to showcase YouTube videos. And then she has the family come on to do a demonstrative show of, you know, family support, which is really, really sweet. But, you know, nobody bought it back in the day when Michael Jackson kissed Lisa Marie Presley, and it was done for the same type of publicity aspect. You know, so we'll see what happens as far as that goes. I think she did. I think she got a huge amount of press for the show, deservedly so. I'm not particularly a huge fan, so I can certainly respect her. But no, I do not think at all she stole the show. And I think there's a lot of times people that are out there, you know, putting out that stuff that are basically, you know, on a marketing team to put out things like that. But she's, you know, very, very talented. And, you know, and I hope her family is as secure as she puts it out there as. But only time will tell as far as what happens after the lights go down.
That could be that a lot of people out there doing that are overtly on her marketing team. It's hard to, you know, separate when you see so many people on somebody's jock like that. You know, are they just blind fanboys or fangirls or on the payroll? Or certainly wouldn't put it past them. And her and her husband certainly have enough money to make that happen if that were the case. The distinction that I have made, John, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but in terms of what happens Sunday night and Monday night is that, to me, the MTV Music Awards at this point, again, it's a cliche to bemoan the fact that MTV doesn't actually play music anymore, but like all cliches, it's true. You know, it's, to me, it's almost a substance-free kind of a deal. It's a pop culture extravaganza. Monday night with the Emmys, you have actual tangible achievements and the recognition of those at stake, as well as being a pop culture thing. Would you agree with the characterization of those two nights?
I definitely think so. I think it's almost like the analogy of, I always say that the MTV VMAs is a lot of sizzle and limited steak, whereas the Emmys is more steak and a little bit less sizzle. You know, there's a lot more substance going on. I mean, just in awards. I mean, how many awards do they give out at the VMAs? I mean, I counted like 7 or 8 of them. I mean, there were only like, I mean, off the top of my head, there's like best female video, best male video, best pop video, best rock video, artist to watch, the Vanguard Award. It's a lot of performances and a lot of, you know, shtick back and forth, whereas the Emmys is very, very chock full of different awards.
Well, not only that, I think the statuettes that they give out at the MTV Awards here, I think if you squint hard enough at the trophy, you'll see best award that was only played on YouTube, not on MTV anymore, because we don't play videos. But, you know, that might account for that as well. That might still be the place to get recognized, but that ain't the place to get played anymore. No question about that. A lot of talk about the hosting job here. Seth Meyers taking a cue in his own admission from Amy Poehler and Tina Fey from the job that they have done the last couple of years with the Golden Globes. And you and I had talked about Ellen's performance with the Academy Awards last spring. You were especially very impressed with that.
Sure.
To the extent that I caught the show, and I'd say it was on and off, every time I tuned in, I was very impressed. He looks to me like a guy who's born for hosting a show like this, comfortable in his own skin, funny. I can't say enough good things about the job he did. What did you think?
I thought he was great, and I thought he's also very, very low-key and understated. He's not like, you know, bombastic. He's not like slapstick, which I can't stand when the hosts do, like the ba-dum-bum type jokes. I happen to actually think Ricky Gervais is hysterical, even though he gets nailed every time, and I also think Seth MacFarlane is hysterical, who also gets nailed and panned a lot of times. But I thought that Seth Meyers did a very, very good job. You know, he was clever. He was understated. He did not, he basically did what I think a host for the Emmys should do, help it move along in a pleasant way, but not basically interfere with what's going on.
Yeah, he I thought did a tremendous job in all the regards you just mentioned right there. That's the kind of thing here. If they're making an instructional tape for young would-be hosts getting ready to do an awards show, I would think they would put a lot of what he did on there and point to the X's and O's of it, because I thought it was just about flawless. Somebody who, again, has been associated with hosting these types of shows in the past, Billy Crystal, of course, he had one of the bigger, I don't mean to trivialize it by calling it a pop culture moment, but the reality is that it is. His memorial for Robin Williams, that was expected to be a high point of the show, an emotional one, and most people seem to think it lived up to it. So coming as it did right on the heels of when they did their in memoriam for the year for just about all of the greats through the course of the past year, what did you think of the job that Billy Crystal did under had to be very difficult circumstances?
Very good. I like the fact, first of all, I like the fact that they are personal friends, and he came out and spoke about Robin as a personal friend, not as a fan, and not, I mean, yes, as a fan being a friend also, but basically did not focus on any of the negative, did not talk about any of the details of death or, you know, get caught up in making it a very, very sad moment, but made it a very, very respectful moment, added some levity to it by bringing in some jokes about, like, when they went to a baseball game and Robin, you know, wasn't super familiar with baseball, and I think Billy Crystal said something like, you know, this is my, you know, Russian baseball friend, and he goes, I play for the only team in my country, the Reds. You know, he brought in some humorous anecdotes, which brought it home to a very personal level, which I think is something that you don't see on the news, and I think that that was the way it needed to be played for the Emmys.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought he had all the right notes there, and I think that's why it got the respect from everyone that it did. On a side note, and I don't know if this is something that you've reflected on much or not, I will say that from going back and forth with some of my friends and show contributors the last couple of weeks just talking about this off air, the sense of from Michael Jackson to Robin Williams, has there been a bigger pop culture moment in terms of a celebrity passing? I mean, maybe you could make a case for Whitney Houston, but there's something about, you know, when it's the dog days of summer and we don't have anything else much going on, the TV shows are, you know, all in reruns and everything like that. Seems like whatever happens over the summer gets magnified. I can't think of anything bigger, and I'd say including Whitney Houston, in the last 5 years. Can you? Just in terms of celebrities?
Well, I would definitely put Whitney Houston in that category to answer your first question, yes.
Okay.
I mean, she definitely was. But, yeah, I mean, you are right. In this world, everything is about timing. Mm-hmm. And summer, especially the end of August, when most businesses are slowing down and people are taking off before the start of everything, kids going back to school in September, businesses ramping up in September and everything. Yeah, if something major happens then, it's going to get a lot more attention than if it happened, let's say, around Christmas time or, you know, right in the middle of the holidays. You know, it is what it is. But, I mean, you're talking about three iconic performers when you say Michael Jackson, Robin Williams, and Whitney Houston. So all of them are going to garner, you know, a huge amount of attention, a huge amount of tribute. And, you know, you're also talking, I mean, to be honest with you, about, even though they're loved by many, you're talking about three controversial you know, performers who had a lot of negative, even more so Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson in their lives, very, very publicized negative, particularly with Michael Jackson, you know, that, you know, brings another element to it. I mean, Robin Williams had, you know, been fighting a terrible battle with depression, and also as roles and stuff like that get less and less in Hollywood for, you know, people that have been around for a while, you know, they're pointing to the fact that the cancellation of his latest show as being the, you know, what you know, basically precipitated the latest, you know, and unfortunately fatal attempt, you know, with taking his life and the latest bout of depression. But, you know, with the other two performers, you're talking about lifelong battles and between Michael's case, you know, a lot of legal difficulties that, you know, sort of besmirched the name for a while. And so when they passed away, you had both camps coming out to talk about things. Whereas with Robin, you really only have, you know, the real supporters coming out. And then all of a sudden, if you look at the first day, for instance, of Robin Williams' death, they didn't even go into detail about the suicide. They didn't go into detail even about the word suicide. And the second day, they didn't even go into detail about depression. That all came out later. All they talked about was beloved comedian, you know, a Mork and Mindy star, and everything has passed. I remember watching the news and saying, what did he die of? What did he die of? Thinking to myself, because I'm trying to, you know, find out. And they didn't even mention it till, like, you know, later on. It was certainly not a headline. Then, of course, the next day it became headlines.
It did. And as you point out, a lot of sad commonalities between the three, from the personal issues to substance abuse issues with all three of them. Again, all of them dying prematurely, none of them dying by natural causes. Robin Williams, it would be very interesting had this happened a couple of years ago when he had heart surgery. That would have been natural causes, and I think the whole spin on this would have been a lot different if it was, you know, out of his control, so to speak. Although, again, I think most people at this point, I think most people are realizing this really was out of his control. And that's, on a side note, isn't that one encouraging development here? I haven't heard one idiot out there with a, what do you have to be depressed about, which has got to be one of the worst takes that you can have on mental health issues, and people confusing depression, lowercase d, with the actual mental illness. You know, so, I mean, it seems like we've come a long way as a society based on how people are reacting to this, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, you're going to always get haters and stupid people on Twitter saying things. Fortunately, nobody's giving them a voice and, you know, letting the faceless profile icons with the three followers have their voices really heard. You're going to see the comments like you're talking about, but one thing I do think that if you had to pick a silver lining in the cloud of his death is definitely that it focused more of a light on the seriousness of depression. And most people, a lot of people in mainstream do poo-poo this illness and do minimalize or trivialize its effects. And when you see it take the life of an iconic comedian who you thought has everything, you know, you realize just how devastating this illness can be.
Yes. It may prevent it from happening to other people, which, again, it may. I guess almost certainly will in at least a handful of cases, because the calls to suicide hotlines were spiking in the time after that, as maybe some more people looked in the mirror and realized the seriousness of their own issues. So perhaps there's already been some good that's come out of that, however inexplicable that might seem. We had talked about, again, the last time you were on the show, Matthew McConaughey being up for the Academy Award and winning it for Best Male Actor, and the unlikelihood of that at the time. Almost the very rare yearly double with that and with the Emmy. And a lot of people thought he was the favorite. I didn't, because I figured that Cranston on the last time around, a lot of people like myself thought he got chopped last year. So maybe a little bit of a makeup call there. But a huge night for Breaking Bad, a huge night for continuity when you're looking at other shows like Modern Family, when you're looking at Jim Parsons, Allison Janney, et cetera. A lot of familiar faces making their way up to the podium. Matthew McConaughey was not one of them, but he did serve his purpose as a punchline and a foil for a couple of presenters last night.
Oh, he was quite the foil for Jimmy Kimmel. It was very humorous, and that was a good little repartee back and forth. Like, he goes, "Why are you here? Why don't you leave and take Julia Roberts with you?" That was one of the highlights of the night for me. Kimmel always kills. He always has something funny, and he also, you know, he just says it in such a matter of fact way that you don't appreciate the barbs unless you're really, really listening to what he's saying, which is the cleverness of him. And I know you are a huge Breaking Bad fan, so I mean that show just cleaned up. I mean, Modern Family was there; they had a lock on a lot of things, and I was surprised also, interestingly, because it had so much negative press when it ended. But American Horror Story, Coven, coming up with two big awards for Jessica Lange and also Kathy Bates, because when that ended, and I was watching it too, it was just, I mean, talk about lack of continuity and craziness going on. That story just was like the seams were just splitting in it. And everyone on Twitter was hating on it who had loved the show. And it was nice to see, you know, those two who also had amazing, amazing performances in American Horror Story Coven, you know, get noticed for that.
Yeah, it was very interesting to see the success that they had because of the circumstances you just named right there, and the fact that as it was wrapping up, nobody would have really forecast that, or at least not too many people. A very, very kind of ironic moment, I thought, that towards the end last night, while Gwen Stefani may not know the name Stephen Colbert right now, chances are she will in the weeks to come once he's been tooling on her night after night after night on late night there. Again, after all this time.
I'm sure that Kendall Jenner sent her a 20 in the mail, because that's just wonderful to get the onus off of Kendall Jenner. That was. I'm surprised they didn't zoom right into Kendall Jenner just to get her reaction. Like, you could just see the weight of the world lifted off her shoulders at that point.
I did see you make that comparison on Twitter, and when we talk about pop culture moments coming out of these things afterwards, a lot of times it's going to end up being a botch of some sort. It's going to be Jennifer Lawrence tripping over her dress at the Oscars. It's going to be the Kendall Jenner moment, as you said, last night there. Yeah, that's one wonder if Les Bloomfield is
dripping. I would hardly put the Kendall Jenner moment, which was horrendous, in the same category as Jennifer Lopez's. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence's constant trips and little, ooh, look at me, I'm so fussy and crazy, but I'm winning awards foibles, because half of those I think are planned, but that's just me. And they also make her more endearing. Nothing of what Kendall Jenner did made her endearing.
I think you're right about that with Jennifer Lawrence. I think she went to the Taylor Swift school of how not to be resented for being a hot chick.
Completely. Oh, look at me. I'm beautiful and I'm a movie star, but I can appeal to the date with desperate clods out there because I can trip going up to the Oscars.
Yeah, it's nice that we've been able to diagram.
And Taylor Swift saying, ooh, I'm tall, skinny, and I look like a model, but I play with cats and bake all day long and can't keep a man. I'm just like you.
We've been able to diagram out there for everybody the X's and O's of how they get away with doing this. And, you know, it's amazing that so many people are still so oblivious to that, to bring it full circle. We started talking about Taylor Swift. From Taylor Swift to Jennifer Lawrence, yeah, they're all at it. It's a brilliant marketing thing. And, again, that's so much of what celebrity life is these days, is how to market yourself properly. And where better can you go to stay on top of that at all things celebrity than, of course, Culture Pop. Check it out on YouTube at youtube.com/culturepop. And, of course, I know, John, everything can always be found at John Baystyle on Twitter with everything you've got going on. You've always got links to your projects there, fitnessmadesimple.com. All these great things going on in the world of fitness and covering the pop culture world. And it's always a joy to talk about it here on the program with you, my man. Thank you so much for making time during what I know is a busy week for you. A lot of fun doing this, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Well, as you know, Rick, I love being on the show, and I have to say this particular visit was particularly charming because of the fact that you quoted my Twitter so damn much. I'm always happy when I get a bunch of retweets like I did with the and favorites with the comments about the wardrobe malfunction with Nicki Minaj and everything, but the fact that you brought up every other tweet. You do your research, man, and I give you props. Great job.
Well, there's a fine line between doing the right amount of research and appearing overly ostentatious in doing so. So hopefully I struck that balance. The listeners will be the judge on that. But, you know, it was interesting going through it, as it always is. That's the reason, of course, that I and so many other people follow you on Twitter, is for all these bon mots that you've got as things are going along here. And like I said, great stuff. Thank you so much. I look forward to doing it again. All the best to you, John. And thank you again to all of you for listening today to this edition of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Out,
Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.